The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Thursday, the 11th of May in London. Coming up today.
Nothing is off the table. Bundesbank President Joachim Nagel tells Bloomberg a September hike may be needed.
A catastrophe. The US Treasury Secretary warns the whole world is in trouble if America defaults.
A double-digit problem, surging inflation set to force the Bank of England into a 12th straight rate rise.
Plus, Disney minus. The entertainment giant sees a drop in streaming subscriptions.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. On Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning from London. I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Anna Edwards. You're listening to Daybreak Europe. Let's get to our top stories. And we start with that interview that you mentioned. The head of Germany's Bundesbank says nothing is off the table for the ECB's September meeting as the bank tries to bring inflation under control. Joachim Nagel has been speaking exclusively to Bloomberg, saying a meeting-by-meeting approach is right for the ECB.
I guess there's nothing off the table, so I'm not speculating here. I think what I realize is that, first of all, and this is good news, that the headline inflation is coming down. Core is still very sticky, but this is also not a surprise. Food inflation is still very high. So what I see is that we are coming closer to the restrictive territory, but we are not there.
Joachim Nagel was speaking to Bloomberg's Stephen Engel after ECB officials told us they're starting to accept that interest rate hikes might need to continue in September. That could mean three more possible moves, bringing the deposit rate to 4%.
The Bank of England, meanwhile, is set to raise rates by a quarter point today. The move would take the bank's base rate to 4.5%, the highest since 2008. Speaking to us here on Bloomberg Radio, former Monetary Policy Committee member Sushil Wadhwani says there's a strong argument for not going much higher.
I think the risks of a US recession have gone up, which I then think possibly make it unwise for us to take rates in the UK to 5% or above.
Wadhwani's view feeds into a debate about whether the central bank will again leave the door open to more rate hikes. The decision due at midday London time, with a press conference half an hour later, and Governor Andrew Bailey is speaking to Bloomberg at 4 p.m.
In the past 24 hours, both President Biden and his Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen have both warned that a default would have a devastating impact on the global economy. Speaking this morning, Yellen did not hold back in her assessments of what will happen if the U.S. hits the debt ceiling.
In my assessment, and that of economists across the board, a default on U.S. obligations would produce an economic and financial catastrophe. A default would threaten the gains that we've worked so hard to make over the past few years in our pandemic recovery, and it would spark a global downturn that would set us back much further.
Yellen's comments at a meeting of G7 finance leaders come a day after President Biden held talks with congressional leaders. Those conversations made little headway towards an agreement.
Staying with the United States, inflation there has dropped below 5% for the first time in 2 years. The data signals that price pressures are beginning to ease, with services inflation slowing noticeably. Bloomberg Opinion columnist and former New York Fed president Bill Dudley says there's more work to do.
The Fed's making some progress on the inflation front, but they haven't made much progress yet on the labor market and on the wage trend. So it's hard to see inflation going all the way back to 2% with a labor market this tight and wages this high. They're going to keep rates at this level or maybe a little bit higher until they see signs that they're confident that inflation is going to get back to 2%.
Speaking to Bloomberg, Dudley also conceded that the Fed's monetary policy has contributed to problems in the banking sector. US CPI came in at 4.9% year on year. Investors greeted the figures as a sign the central bank is unlikely to keep tightening. The Fed raised its benchmark rate last week above 5% for the first time since 2007.
Disney shares fell in after hours trading on Wall Street after the company reported a drop in streaming subscribers. The firm says losses at the division will rise by $100 million this quarter. But David Trainor, CEO of New Constructs, who specialise in investment research, says it's not bad news.
Streaming was never really meant to be a profitable business. It's a loss leader for other profitable businesses, and Disney is by far the best positioned media and content company to monetize content.
David Trainor says the key news for Disney shareholders is still the recent return of CEO Bob Iger. Total revenue at the world's largest entertainment firm rose 13% to $21.8 billion in the period, driven by strong performance of the company's theme parks.
Those are our top stories on the programme this morning. Anna, have you been shopping with a very large credit card recently?
No.
No.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble here. I recall.
The latest figures from the real estate agency Knight Frank showing that it was the best year for sales of super prime property in London last year since before 2016's Brexit vote. So you weren't spending over £10 million on a house then?
Not casually at the weekends, no.
So 161 of these super prime properties were sold at a total of £3.1 billion. That's the best year since 2015-2016 as well. The highest number of super prime deals took place in which borough for 10 points?
Oh, Kensington and Chelsea.
Correct.
Oh, thank you very much. wasn't me though.
Followed by Belgravia and Mayfair as well. This is a great piece from our colleague Sarah Rappaport from Bloomberg Pursuits looking at the super prime property market since Brexit. Interesting, given the contrasting signals coming from other parts of the property market. Some people are still able to buy houses.
What a relief. This hour has turned into something of a pop quiz for me. Yesterday, yes. James Walcott was asking me impossible questions about politicians and their travel plans in Asia. But anyway, that's an interesting story.
That's what we bring you on Bloomberg Radio.
I'm glad we got to focus on the property market for a moment. Now, let's get to our top story, shall we, Stephen, and a really important interview for global markets. As you heard a moment ago in our top stories, the European Central Bank Governing Council member Joachim Nagel has refused to rule out post-summer rate hikes in September and beyond. The big conversation at the moment is whether the ECB, or for how long the ECB, can keep hiking if and when the Fed pauses, and many people think the Fed has paused now. Let's bring you some of that conversation. Stephen Engel for Bloomberg TV has been speaking exclusively with the Bundesbank president on the sidelines of the G7 finance ministers meeting in Japan. He says the ECB is on the right track.
I think, first of all, it was important that we hiked rates last week. I think it confirmed our commitment that our monetary policy path is not over to fight against inflation. Inflation is still very sticky. It is a very stubborn phenomenon. And as I said several times, you have to be even more stubborn. That means for me that story about hiking rates is not over. We have to do more. So there are two more meetings before the summer break, and let's go.
So you said that it was likely in the home stretch, whereas Christine Lagarde has talked about there's still more ground to cover. And inflation has been stubborn, and core inflation has been stubborn in Europe, and it's seen picking up in places like Italy. So two more possible hikes by July. What about September? Is that off the table or definitely a possibility?
I guess there's nothing off the table, so I'm not speculating here. I think what I realize is that, first of all, and this is good news, that the headline inflation is coming down. Core is still very sticky, but this is also not a surprise. Food inflation is still very high. So what I see is that we are coming closer to the restrictive territory, but we are not there.
Mm-hmm. How long would if they pause in July, how long a pause would you anticipate? I think the longest time that they would stay at that peak has been seven months or so. Would you see that as a good benchmark?
So again, I do not know where we have to stop. But when there's the point coming that we could more or less stop the rate hikes, then I have to believe we have to stay there for a while to wait what is the impact, what we did from the past, to see are we really successful or not. And this is very important.
Well, how long of a sustained drop, if you will, in core CPI would be enough?
I think what I see in the numbers is that it will take at least 1.5 years till we see numbers that are close to our target. So we have to be patient here.
I know Barclays was predicting a pause until the second half of 2024 and then hikes. Is that something that would be feasible, or is that too far to predict what the data might say?
This is would be also speculation. So what I see is that we have to wait for the incoming data, and then we will decide. So this meeting-to-meeting approach, this is the right way to do monetary policy in these days.
Now, the Italians are typically fairly dovish on this sense, but they are also voicing concern that inflation is staying a little bit too high. Would you go along with that thinking, that even the Italians are saying maybe inflation is too high?
So important to me is what the governing council is doing. I'm part of this governing council, so we are 20 governors. Together with the ECB board, we take the decisions. And we did a lot since July last year. This was our seventh rate hike. This is a lot. I think if you take the history of the ECB, I think it is exceptional. So it is really successful policy. And this is, for me, the important part.
Do you feel that the banking issues that obviously we've seen in the United States as well as in Europe with Credit Suisse and the like, this could cause an earlier pause than expected?
I think we experienced some turbulence over the last couple of weeks. I think it started in the United States with Silicon Valley Bank. But all what I saw is more or less attributed to idiosyncratic risk. So these are not this is not a systemic crisis. This is not a banking crisis. What I can say for the German banks, what I can say for the European banks, the banking sector is solid. They are well capitalized, good liquidity situation. So we have to be alerted. I think this is something we should not take too easy.
Yeah, can it happen again, though? I mean, I think that's a rhetorical question, but can it happen again? Or the guardrails being put in place?
I think, taking my point when I say alerted, what I would like to say with that is that we shouldn't be too complacent. We should take this as a lesson learned. So what could be done to get better in the future? I think this is one of the things we discuss here to really find the right, answers for the future.
Where do you see the biggest vulnerabilities that need to be shored up?
Yeah, maybe there are still some blind spots. I think we have to know better what does it mean when social networks are trying to get into that game and influencing, pushing things. Also the withdrawal of the deposits. I think this is something how fast the things could go in maybe these days. So we really have to learn a little bit more what is the impact out of that. And so then what we have to do on the regulatory side, maybe on the CDS market, single name CDSs, are there maybe blind spots? So there are a lot of things we should discuss here in Japan.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. making your money work as hard as you do, that's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
That was the Bundesbank president Joachim Nagel there speaking to Bloomberg's Stephen Engel at the G7 in Japan.
Let's move on to another story around for global markets, and the Bank of England looms large on the agenda. Could it be set for its 12th straight interest rate rise today, even though the end of the tightening, the lightning quick hiking cycle is coming into view? For a preview, let's speak to our senior UK economist, Dan Hansen, who's with us. Dan, good morning. So a lot of people do expect that we will get another, a 12th straight hike from the Bank of England. What are you expecting?
Yeah, so I think following the data we had last month, so the CPI data and the wages data, they were big surprises, both of them to the upside. So I think it's very likely we get a 25 basis point hike today. I think if you look at market pricing, it's 100% priced in. The thing to watch is really about what the bank says about the future. So it's guidance. And so far, it's been linking further rate rises to data surprises. And we've had quite a few of those in recent months, as we know. So it's whether they soften that guidance or maintain that guidance. Our best guess is that the guidance will be maintained, simply because, as I've said, the scale of the surprises that we've had make it very difficult to signal something firmer around a pause. I think they'll want to keep their options open going forward.
In terms of language, what will be sort of the interesting words you'll be listening out for later when we hear from Andrew Bailey?
Yeah, so if we get into the specifics of the language, I mean, I've got it up in front of me here. I think the sentence really that people and markets will pore over is the sentence that was in the minutes in March and also in February. It says if there were to be evidence of more persistent pressures, so more persistent inflationary pressures, then further tightening in monetary policy would be required. Now, I think the question around this is, does it change? Does that would get softened to a could or a maybe? And by doing that, if the bank did decide to soften that language, then the bar for another hike would be raised. And we could get data surprises, but it wouldn't be automatically then linked to another 25 basis point hike. So I think that's the bit of the minutes or the monetary policy summary that everyone will be watching to see whether we get some softening there.
I was going to say, so highlighters at the ready, but these days it's an AI tech, a text analytical tool, I'm sure, isn't it, Dan? So yeah, no need for the highlighters. So to spot the differences in the sentences. What about the vote split? Is that going to be of interest? I spoke to Liz Martins earlier of HSBC, and she was saying, you know, base case is it's 7-2, just like last time. So 7 voting for a 25 basis point hike and 2 for no change. But she says at the margin, there could be some who are tempted to vote again for 50 based on some of the strength of the wages and inflation data.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think you would say that Catherine Mann's the most likely of the MPC to do that. I mean, one reason to think she may not do that is that she's been quite attuned to what the Fed's been doing. And the Fed has been obviously stepped down to 25 and obviously has signalled a, if you like, a conditional pause as well. So I think there is a risk there. But I also think there's a risk the other way, equally, with how high rates are now. I think there's a risk there that John Cunliffe, the deputy governor, goes for a pause as well. So I think there are risks in both directions, but our base case, like HSBC's, is for 7-2.
How much of an issue is divergence for the Bank of England if we look at the Fed moving to pause?
So, I mean, I think, you know, the Bank of England's, back in February, it went on to this, it moved itself to this conditional pause phase where I think it would have quite happily stuck at 4% if the data had broadly gone in line with its forecasts. What we've had in the event is a number of very, very big data surprises on CPI, but also on wages. So I think it's really important for them to maintain this optionality going forward. And I think what's really interesting, if we just cast our minds even back to November, the bank was warning about rates going above 5% and really sending a message to the markets that that level of pricing was too aggressive.
Okay.
Now we've got a world where a 5% handle isn't out of the realm of possibility.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through.
Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.